Genesis chapter 1. There's a sense in which we'll be looking at the whole chapter, but we won't be studying the whole chapter as we did last week. I've entitled the message this morning, God's Young Earth. God's Young Earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." God created the heaven and the earth. You know, today, many professing Christians reject the Bible's literal interpretation of creation. They believe that the evolutionary theory requiring billions of years is scientific, and that a literal interpretation of God's creation about 6,000 years ago is not scientific. Such old earth Christians, as they're called, they believe that the earth is very, very old, billions of years old. The old earth Christians believe the secular scientists rather than taking God's word literally for what it says, as the young earth Christians do. Now, most old earth Christians believe that God did get involved in creation. They don't take it all away from him. They give him credit for his involvement in creation. Some think that they all believe that it took place over long periods of time using evolutionary methods of one kind or another to be able to accomplish his creation. And yet the Bible tells us that God created everything in 6 short days. Just like our little song says, God made everything 6,000 years ago in 6 short days. And that's what the Bible teaches. That's a literal interpretation of the Bible. Even people that don't believe the Bible will admit that, well, if you take the Bible literally, it says that God created everything in 6 short days. But we don't believe the Bible, and so we don't believe it's literal, and so they make all these excuses. So even the critics will admit that the Bible does say that. And we're going to look at some evidence to help us to defend why we believe that God created everything in 6 short days about 6,000 years ago. And some of these facts may be repetitive for you, others may be new to you. But I hope that whatever they are, they will be a help in building up your faith. That's our goal this morning, to build your faith in God and build your faith in the Word of God, that we might be able to stand with our heads held high, believing that God made everything 6,000 years ago in just 6 short days. Now, as we begin, there are several different theories, and we're going to be looking at a few of them. We won't be looking at all of them. There's far too much. And to be truthful, this short little message will just barely skim the surface as to all the details that are out there and all the arguments against or for that are out there regarding this subject. So we're not covering it extensively, but hopefully it'll be a help as we look at it in part. First of all, theistic evolutionists and progressive creationists are some that oppose the Bible. Now, big terms, let me define them for you. The word theist, all right? The Greek word for God is theos, or theos. And so theistic means something dealing with God, the study of God, or that which pertains to God. So they call themselves theistic evolutionists. It's kind of a contradiction. They say, I believe in God, but I also believe in evolution. Theistic evolutionist. All right. Then there's also those that call themselves progressive creationists. Progressive creationists. They say, well, God did create everything, but it took a long process, a progression, long period of time. But God created it over this long period of time, like evolutionary says. All right. Now, both of these have one goal in mind, and that is to try to support the Bible, and yet to also integrate it with science and the thinking of science, the theories of science. And so the theistic evolutionists, they basically believe that that the origins of the world were brought about by God through an evolutionary process. God used evolution to do his job. There's also some who are called atheistic evolutionists. All right, those are the ones that say, yeah, it all happened through evolution, but it had nothing to do with God. Atheist means, A means not, so atheist, instead of a theistic evolutionist, you got the atheistic evolutionist. So the atheistic evolutionists are most of the world is, just says, we don't believe in God, we believe in evolution. The theistic evolutionists are those who say, yeah, we do believe in God, we think he had part of this, he could kind of guided the evolutionary process. All right? So you got these ideas here. Then we are called what is known as the special creationists. Those who just believe what the Bible says, that God created it in a special way, in a unique, miraculous way, God created everything. Now, the theistic evolutionists and the progressive creationists believe much the same, but let me read a couple of definitions that'll just help us to distinguish them slightly. The theistic evolutionist believes that God created through naturalistic evolutionary processes. So the theistic evolution just says, we believe in evolution, but God guided it. God was the one that supervised the evolution, basically. So God supervised the evolutionary process. The progressive creationist believes that God intervened at various points over billions of years of time to create new forms of life. So it's kind of the same thing, it's a little different. They just say that, well, this long period of evolution that took place, God was overseeing it, and God created new forms along this line, and then millions of years later, he created some other new forms through this evolutionary process, and millions of years later, he did it again. So they're very similar, these two theories, the progressive creationists and the theistic evolutionists. Now, biblical refutation of these theories. How do we refute them? How do we show that these ideas are not right? All right, listen carefully. We'll look at some things that can be of help to us. First of all, the Bible says that God, the Son, created everything, not evolution. Right, now, if we believe the Bible, we read in the Bible that God, the Son, Jesus Christ, created everything. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, says, in the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So if there's something that exists, the Bible says Jesus made it. Everything. Everything that was made by Jesus Christ. In the beginning. In the beginning. We talked about the beginning last week. We're not going to re-preach that one. Now, God created instantly by His spoken word. We emphasized that last week. Over and over and over throughout Genesis chapter 1, we see those words, and God said, and God said, and it happened, and God said, and it happened. And God said it, and it happened. So God created through His spoken word instantly. God didn't use a process of time. God didn't say, all right, let's have animals. All right, and 5 million years later, the cow evolved. Well, that's not very impressive. You know, that God would take that long to develop His way of... No, He just spoke it and it was. He spoke it and it happened. So God created instantly. Psalm 33, verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. So, but God's spoken word, all the heavens were made. And all the stars and all the planets and all the things that are in the world by a spoken word. God said it and it was. And it happened. Our God created everything miraculously, instantly, by His mighty power and His spoken word. Now, God created all things by His might, not evolution. God did not use evolutionary processes at all to produce all the things that He created. We read in Jeremiah 32:17, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. There is nothing too hard for thee. Now, what kind of a mighty, strong, powerful God would take 4 billion years to make everything? You'd say, well, he's kind of slow at it. You know, it took him a long time. No, our God is a mighty God. He stood with His strong, powerful arm. He stretched it out and He created all things. It's interesting. I did some research throughout the Bible on this. When God stretched out His arm, it was a sign of His action. He's going to accomplish something. He stretched out His arm and performed miracles. He stretched out His arm to do things. I don't know whether it literally means that He put His arm out or whether it's just an expression that God actively got involved in this and He said, let it be, and it was. And so Jeremiah again, he says, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. So theistic evolution and progressive creationism are unbiblical. The idea that God used evolution to help Him create things is a slap in God's face. Because God said He made it instantly with His spoken word, by His great power and His stretched out arm. And to say it any other way, to say it God stretched it out or God made it a long period of time, you are blaspheming God and saying that God couldn't do it as He said He did instantaneously with His spoken word. So we need to believe the Bible. Theistic evolution and progressive creationism are unbiblical. There's another theory that is, well, it was more popular some years back than it is now, but it is still a popular idea, and that is called the gap theory. The gap theory. Look with me at Genesis chapter 1 again, verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, there are some who say right there between those two verses is a big gap of millions of years. All right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth millions and millions and millions of years ago, and there's this big long gap, and the earth was without form and void, and God fixed it all up. All right? It's also called the ruin and restoration theory. The ruin and restoration theory. The idea that God made the world millions and billions of years ago, and then it got ruined, and he destroyed it, and he started all over again and made it all over again brand new in 6 great days. So they do believe in a literal creation in the sense that they say, well, yes, God did all these things on literal 6 24-hour days, just like he said he did here. But this was after he had millions of years ago just made another one, and then it messed up, and he destroyed it, and then so now he's making the new one in 6 short days. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Because the Bible tells us that God did it in a short period of time. We'll see some reasons behind this. All right. First of all, this theory, they say that in the dateless past, God created this perfect heaven and earth. In the dateless past, they don't know when, millions, maybe billions, maybe trillions of years ago, God created this perfect world. And Satan, they claim, was the ruler of the earth. All right, so Satan was the ruler of the earth. He was one of God's good angels. And along this time, Satan decided that he was going to rebel against God. And he rebels against God. And as a result, he turns the world against God and wrecks everything. And they've got absolutely no evidence for this, but they say there was a Lucifer's flood. This huge flood that destroyed the world. Completely wiped out the whole world. And that is where all of the fossils that we find in the ground come from Lucifer's flood. And this all happened before the beginning. Remember, God, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth? Well, I guess they would say it wasn't after the beginning. Their beginning is millions of years ago, and then God re-began again in verse number 2. So all this was before the re-beginning in verse number 2. And that's Lucifer's flood and all the fossils that we find today. Now, in order to support that theory, they claim that the Noah's flood left no fossils. The Noah's flood was very calm, tranquil. Many of them believe it was a local flood. It wasn't a worldwide flood. It was just a local flood. Got a little bit deep. And they didn't cause any fossils during that time. It was a calm time. Just a local or a gentle flood. And the real fossils, all these fossils that we find today that are dated by, you know, long, long ago, they all took place back in Lucifer's flood. Millions of years ago. Who knows when that was. All right? And there's a lot of, surprisingly, there's a lot of Bible teachers back from the 1800s that believed this and taught it. And you can get a lot of the commentaries that I have. You read up what they say about it, and yeah, they talk about this gap back in there. And they believed that. But they were... And I'm not excusing them, but they didn't know a lot of the things we know today. But still, it was no excuse for them to say, well, you know, we've got to figure out a way to put these millions of years in there because science says there's millions of years and the Bible doesn't say there's millions of years. We've got to fit them in somewhere. So we can't figure out anywhere else to put them. Let's put them right there. That's a good place to put them. And so they stick all those millions of years in there. There's some major problems with that, and we can refute that, and here's how. The Bible nowhere implies that the beginning was ages before the days of creation. It doesn't say that. In fact, the Bible says just the opposite. Mark chapter 10 and verse number 6 says, "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female." From the beginning of creation. Well, wait a minute. If the beginning of creation was millions of years ago before this Lucifer's flood, then he didn't create Adam and Eve and man when he said he did. No, the Bible says that in the beginning, God made the male and female. He did it in the beginning. All right? Another evidence of this. The fact that God created man in the beginning of creation does not separate man's creation from the beginning by billions of years. God created man in the beginning, But there's nothing saying that he separated that by billions of years. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. 2 Peter 3 and verse number 4. And 2 Peter 3, 4 says, "And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the world." Or from the beginning of creation. So even the scoffers, Peter said, even in the last days, the scoffers will agree that from the beginning of the world, everything stayed the way it was. Well, that's not what they're trying to say. These gap theory guys are trying to say, no, from the beginning, if you're really going to go back to the beginning, verse number 1 of Genesis, that was millions of years ago. Well, that's not what he says. He says, from the beginning of creation, all things remained the same. Until the flood. You read 2 Peter chapter 3. He talks about the flood. So even the scoffers are admitting that everything remained the same until the flood. And they ignore the flood, but Peter points it out to them when God wiped everything out. And so this idea of God creating millions of years ago and then destroying it in some Lucifer's flood and recreating everything is not what the Bible teaches. Now another thing that goes against their teaching is that the evolutionary geologic column. You ever heard of the geologic column? All right, in school, in science class, you'll study and you'll see this geologic column. What the geologic column is you'll see pictures. All right, and in this picture, they got layers of sediment. You know, all the layers of sediment. And in the real down low layers of sediment, there's these little things like the trilobites and the little teeny creatures. And then there's a little bit bigger ones up in here, and then a little bit bigger ones up in here, and then the bigger ones, until the big ones are all up on top. So this is called the geologic column. And science uses this to say that this geologic column proves that evolution took place because all the little ones are at the bottom and they get bigger and bigger and bigger as you go up. But evolutionists don't tell us the whole story. First of all, this geologic column here would contradict the gap theory. Right? Even if it was true, if the geologic column was accurate, it still contradicts the gap theory because they're saying that, you know, that God created everything perfectly millions of years ago and then Lucifer messed it up and then God had to fix it all up again. And all these fossils were during that time. But this geologic column says, you know, the evolution started and the little ones are at the bottom and then the little bigger ones. So evolution, these little ones evolved into bigger ones and the bigger ones evolved into bigger ones and the bigger ones evolved into bigger ones all the way up until they get to the top. Well, that's not what the gap theory teaches. That kind of messes up their thinking. Because they say, no, God created it perfect millions of years ago, and then Satan messed it up. So it couldn't have... These two don't go together. All right, so they got some problems there with that. But we'll look at the geologic column a little bit more later. But the geologic column, there's no place in the world where you can find an example of the geologic column like they have on their pictures. It doesn't exist. Now, there's places that have several of the things that they mention. But to have one place that has all of these layers, so you can just look at them and say, oh yeah, it's true. And another thing they don't tell you is, often, they'll find a big guy down here with a little one. So they say, whoops, what's he doing down there? Don't show anybody that picture. You know, we don't know why he's down there. Because if the geologic column was accurate, there could not be a big one down here with the little ones. Impossible, because the big one hadn't evolved until way up here. So if that was really a true thing, the geologic column was accurate, it could never have a big one out of order. Never. Because it wouldn't make any sense. But there are many big ones out of order. So the geologic column isn't scientific, it's only a theory. Now, another thing, the Bible states that Noah's flood was global and devastating. I mean, you don't even have to be very smart to figure that out. If you read Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8, he tells us very clearly that God covered all the mountains with water. All the hills, and all the animals died, and all the people died. It sounds pretty global to me. Very global. And besides that, if God was just doing a local flood, instead of telling Noah to spend 100 years building an ark, he could have said, Noah, grab your family and take off and go on a 100-year trip. And by then, you'll be well out of way of the flood. Now, it would have been simpler. He would have traveled just a few years and he could have been out of the way of the local flood and he wouldn't have had to build his big ark. Now, the whole story depends on the fact that it was global. It was covered the world, the whole world. And he talks about the fountains of the deep bursting open and the waters of the heavens pouring down. And so, The Bible is very clear about that. Genesis chapter 7, verse number 19. Genesis 7:19 says, "And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered." Sounds pretty global to me. 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse number 6. Peter reviews this. 2 Peter 3, verse 6. "Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." Peter seemed to think the whole world was covered and was perished. So Peter believed the Bible, but the many who deny the global flood are denying the Bible. We have another major problem, and that is the problem of sin and death. If the gap theory is right, there was another creation of human beings and animals and all those creatures in the God's original perfect creation, and it all got messed up and God started all over. That means all of those died. Millions and millions of people and animals died before Genesis 1:2. Now, we got a major problem with that. Because in Genesis 1:2, Adam hadn't been created yet. He wasn't created until later on in the chapter. Or, you know, that was on day 1. He wasn't created until day 6. So Adam wasn't around yet. And yet the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." God says that death and sin entered the world because Adam and Eve sinned. Now, God didn't say death and sin entered into the world because millions of years ago, somebody messed up in Satan's world and death and sin was back then. No, death and sin didn't start until Adam sinned. There was no death and sin until after Adam sinned. And so it's impossible, absolutely biblically impossible, to believe the gap theory. It's unbiblical. It doesn't follow what the Bible teaches. God created everything in 6 short days about 6,000 years ago. Now, there's another theory we're going to look at this morning that is probably a far more popular theory in our world today. And that is the day-age theory. The day-age theory. The day-age theory summarized is this. It is the belief that the days spoken of in Genesis chapter 1 are long periods of times over millions and billions of years, not literal 24-hour days. And now people believe this because they take a verse from the book of 2 Peter. You might want to flip over there and take a look at that. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8. If you haven't already done so, you should make a note in your margin about this verse. This is a verse that is very commonly used today to defend the day-age theory that God created everything over a long period of time. It says, "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And they say, look at there. One day is the same as 1,000 years. But read the rest of the verse. And 1,000 years is one day. Oh, that cancels it out. All it's saying is with God, God is timeless. God is not worried about days and years and months. I mean, God doesn't operate under those kind of circumstances. God is timeless. And so to have a verse like this, they say, look at there. That proves it. There's long periods of times. Well, there's a lot of holes in this theory. One of them being right here, that one day equals 1,000 years, 1,000 years equals a day, it cancels itself out. But really, they're not after 1,000 years. They're after billions of years. So what they would really need God to say is, one day is with the Lord as 1,000,000,000 years, and 1,000,000,000 years is a day. But that's not what it says. It says 1,000. And so it messes up their idea right there at the start. Then also, the word day, they say, well, the word day doesn't always mean 24 hours. Right? So you look in the scriptures, what does the word day mean? Well, most of the time, it's obvious that the word day means 24-hour day. There's times when the Bible talks about day referring to the daylight portion of an ordinary day. Right? It's saying, well, we're going to go in the day. Right? So it's talking about the daylight portion of the day as opposed to the night portion of the day. Then it also sometimes is referred to as an indefinite period of time. For instance, like the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. That's an indefinite period of time. And so they say, well, look at there. See, it doesn't have to be 24 hours. And it's true, it doesn't. But you've got to be consistent. And as we look at that, we'll see that in just a moment. However, when we find the word day anywhere in the Bible used alongside with the word evening, morning, night, or a number, it always refers to a literal day. You cannot say on day number four, this happened. There's no place in the Bible that it says day number four is some long period of time. No, it's talking about an obvious, literal 24-hour day. Anytime you use a number, if they said that this happened 6 days ago, well, you wouldn't say, six 24-hour days ago or 6 million days ago or six. No, it's obviously 6 days ago. It's using a number. Anytime you have evening or morning or night with it, if you say this, the evening of the day, well, the evening of the day, was that a billion years or was it? No, it's obviously the dark portion of the 24-hour period. So anytime you see this. Now, as you look in Genesis chapter 1, look down at verse number 5. And we see this all through the book, all through the chapter. Verse number 5 says, and God called the light day, and darkness he called night. Oh, night. Used was the word day. And the evening and the morning. Oh, evening and morning were the first day. Ha! What do you know? You got all four of them in one verse. Evening, morning, night, and day, all in one verse. And God says here that he's talking about a 24-hour day. And you read down through chapter 1, you'll see this over and over again. He talks to evening and morning were the first day. Evening and morning were the first day. Evening and morning were the first day. Sounds to me like God's trying to tell us that it was 24 hours. And it's pretty clear. God's trying to make it very clear to us that it's 24 hours. Now, in some of the days in Genesis, if some of the days in Genesis were long periods of time, then it must be consistent. We must be consistent. You can't expect in one chapter to use the same word once using it as a short day and once using it as a long day. That's not being consistent. That's not the way hermeneutics work, and we're trying to understand the principles of the Bible. And this causes a real problem for the day-age theory guys. The day and night do not make day and night do not make up 24 hours, and the days and years lose their meaning if it doesn't mean day all the time. All right. So you read down through this, and some of the time it talks about day and night. You say, oh yeah, day and night, millions of years and millions of nights. You know, and then then when he talks about the days and years. Well, if a day is a million years, how long is a year? 360 million years? I don't know how it doesn't make any sense. See, they lose their significance. If there's not a specific 24 hours placed upon that day, it loses its significance. Here's some examples. Well, let me read a verse first. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 14. And God said, let the lights in the firmament of heaven, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from night. If that doesn't mean 24 hours days, you got problems. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Once again, if it isn't 24-hour days, you've got some major problems here. Because it's comparing the days with the years. It's comparing the day with the night. It has to be 24 hours. And it's found in verse 16 and verse 18, same kind of thing. Here's another thing for you to think on. This is kind of a comical one. Adam, the Bible tells us Adam lived 930 years. 930 years. Now, if a day was not 24 hours, and let's just say a day was 1,000 years, you calculate that out, and Adam lived 339,450,000 years. I don't know anybody that says that. But if you're going to be consistent, if the day really means 1,000 years, then he didn't live just 930 years. He lived millions of years. It doesn't add up. You got another problem when you look throughout the Bible. How many millions of years did Joshua march around Jericho? 7,000 years. 7,000 years. He went around the city once a day for 7 days. So, you got some problems there. How long was Jonah in the whale? 3 days or 3,000 years? I think if he was in there for 3,000 years, he would have been, you know, long gone before then. All right. So, days in the Bible has to refer to 24-hour days. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 11 is another very significant verse. God tells us here that He created the 26 24-hour days to establish a week and one day of rest. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 11. This is part of the Ten Commandments. It says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." God was establishing a week for our well-being, for our good, that we might work 6 days and rest 1 day. Now, God's just telling us that for our own good, to help us to understand. If God was talking about thousands of years, even if a day equaled 1,000 years, it doesn't help the evolutions very much, or these creation evolutions either. But let's just assume a day was 1,000 years. If God worked 6,000 years to create the earth and then rested 1,000 years, that messes up the whole idea of a week. That doesn't make any sense at all. None at all. God was literal when He said one day equals 24 hours. Now, as we see this gap, this day-age theory, and I'm serious, it is very popular. Many of the popular speakers today believe the day-age theory. Many of them do. And they don't even make any bones about it. Like James Dobson and some others like that. They believe that God created everything over long periods of time using the day-age theory. Lots of people that are well-known in our world believe these kind of things. And we need to be careful. Just because some well-known person believes it doesn't make it right. God said He created everything in 6 24-hour days about 6,000 years ago. Now, here's another evidence that I found really fascinating. I was listening to a recording this week by a preacher dealing with this. He said, another reason we know that the world was not created over a long period of time is this. When Noah and his family got off the ark, right, there was Noah and his wife, who were perhaps too old to have children. I'm not going to guarantee that, but let's just say they were too old to have children. They had three sons and their three wives. So there was three families, six people. Now, according to this scientist that I was listening to, he said that the world population doubles every 250 years, approximately. You know, it varies a little bit. But approximately every 250 years, the world population doubles. So let's just apply those figures to what we know from the Bible. You take those six people, and in 250 years, you double that. You say, well, certainly they had more kids than that before 250 years. All right, that's the whole point. But let's assume, all right, you double that, and you get 12. And then another 250 years, you double it, and you get 24. And you go on and go on. And as you double it, you will double it 30 times, and you will come up to 6.5 billion people. You say, that's about what we got on the earth now. 30 times. Then you take 30 times 250, and it comes up to 4,500. And you back that up from today. Oh, what a coincidence. It's just about the time of Noah. God's telling us the truth. This world isn't that old. You know, the world that we live in is about 6,000 years old. God created it, just like He said. The genealogies in the Bible are right. They're giving us the accurate understanding of how old it is. Now, people say, well, you know, it might be between 6 and 10,000. All right, well, fair enough. That's nothing to argue about. I think it's probably closer to 6, but, you know, there may be a few gaps where they sometimes in the genealogies they leave out a guy's name. But you're not going to get millions of years out of that. You might get a few hundred if there was a little gap there that they didn't take into consideration. But it's between 6 and 10,000 years. My personal belief is around 6. And just like the Bible says, we live in a short, new, young earth, just like God said. Now, as we review over what we've looked at here this morning, all old earth theories have one thing in common. The one thing in common is this. They trust scientific theory more than God's word. They trust scientific theory more than God's word. They believe that the world really is billions of years old and that we must find a way to fit the billions of years into the Bible. Now, listen to this carefully. Scientists have not proved that the earth is old. They have not proved that. It is a theory. Scientific dating methods are inconsistent and inaccurate. And the carbon dating method that is often used cannot possibly go back as far as the millions and billions of years that they claim. Also, another thing that I was learned as I was listening this week, they said that the levels of helium in our world today and in the rocks, there's apparently helium that is in the granite rocks and other rocks, and the helium leaves those rocks at a certain pace. And there's no way that our world can be thousands or millions of years old because there's still helium in a lot of the rocks. And if our world was millions of years old, there wouldn't be any helium left in the rocks. It'd be gone. And so there's all kinds of evidence that we don't hear from the scientific world that supports the fact that the world is not as old as they claim. As I mentioned a few moments ago, the geologic column that they claim to use as their evidence of evolution. They're all the little ones at the bottom and they work their way up. The strata layers contain large animals and some of the smaller ones down below. Like I said, there's another problem. Every now and then, you've got these strata layers, and then you have a tree standing up over a whole bunch of strata layers that is petrified in there. Whoops, where'd he come from? How'd that tree get in there? Well, if it happened during the flood, that's easy to understand. If it happened over millions of years, it's impossible. Impossible. Trees don't stand up for millions of years. They would have rotted and decayed long before. But there's a lot of those things. They're called polystrate fossils. Polystrate because the stratas are this way and the polystrate is standing up or, you know, whatever. It's going through several layers. And again, causes real problems. And the coal mines are full of these kind of things, these polystrate fossils of trees and things of that nature standing up. And again, supporting the creationist view. The global destruction far better explains the strata layers during the flood than does any other theory that they come up with. Far better than the evolutionary theory is that God made all those layers during the flood. And that happened just about 4,500 years ago. And the Bible is full of support that we can believe and trust. The theories of evolution, they present them as fact, and that's unfortunate, but they're not fact. There is no fact that man has evolved. There is no fact that the world is millions of years old. There is no fact that the world began with a Big Bang. That is all theory, even though they present it as fact, and that is unfortunate. But we need to know the truth and stand for the truth. Even if people scoff at you and mock at you and laugh at you, don't let it bother you. Stand for what the Bible says. The Bible says God made everything 6,000 years ago in just six short days. And we need to stand for the Bible and say, I'm going to defend the buck no matter what scientific world says. I'm standing for the Bible. So as we think about this, there's another reason why we need to do this. And that is because the Bible tells us that God created us. And because God created all of us, we're going to all stand before God one day and give an account of ourselves to God. And every one of us are going to stand before Him and answer to Him for the life that we've lived. And as we do, we need to be prepared. And now is the time to prepare. See, the Bible is true about creation. The Bible is also true about the way of salvation. And the Bible tells us that it's appointed on a man once to die, and after that, the judgment. We will stand before God at the judgment. And now is the time to prepare to meet God by trusting Jesus as our Savior. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to do that because judgment day is coming, and you will stand before God. Just as sure as the Bible is true on every other thing, He will be true in this. You will stand before God and give account to yourself, to God. And now is the time to trust Christ as your Savior if you've not done that. If you're a Christian, you're not walking close to God, now is the time to get back right in fellowship with God and start walking in fellowship with God and living the life that God wants you to live, because we're going to stand before Him and give account to Him one day, and it may be very soon.